open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 10. I've been starting in this new year adding the book of Proverbs to my reading, and something I would encourage you to do. Perhaps you may want to do something similar where what I'm doing with the book of Proverbs is whatever day of the month it is, I read that chapter. And it's something I've done in the past on several occasions and add to my regular reading from time to time, and I find it helpful. And I find it encouraging. And the Lord has given Proverbs that help make us wise. And so tonight I want to share with you some blessings and teachings from the book of Proverbs. But before I do, I ask you a question. How many of you want to get rich? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See, a lot of you are afraid to raise your hands because you think it's a trick question. I don't know why y'all think I ask trick questions around here. The last Sunday I asked you what color my shirt was, and nobody would say. It was just as plain as day. It was black, and nobody wanted to say. Because you were afraid I was going to say, no, it's not really black, it's some indigo blue, huh? You were scared. Well, this one is a kind of a trick question. That's why you don't like answering my question. Not really. But I know that when you ask that question, how do you want to get rich, a lot of people's minds go to that verse in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 6, where Paul says to Timothy, a lot of people, those who want to get rich, They have problems. They end up with pains and struggles and problems in their life. And so when I ask the question, if you want to get rich, it's a problem. And I understand that. You identify with that. And you're Bible students. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 4, says something very interesting. It says, poor is he who works with a diligent hand. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Isn't that an interesting verse? The hand of the diligent makes rich. Now, I grant to you that there is a significant difference between getting rich and making rich. Getting rich is something that would consume us and would drive us and would cause us to press after whatever it is. But this says that something else makes us rich. It's not something that we necessarily achieve for ourselves. And I want you to look down just a little bit further, because in the same chapter, this wouldn't have jumped out to me so much, except for verse 22 of the same chapter. In chapter 10, verse 22, he says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, I need to do something with you quickly. I need you to look at verse 4 and verse 10. I want us to look at the last half of verse 4 and the first half of verse 10. We're going to do boom, 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 okay? So here we go. Verse 4, the last half. The hand of the diligent makes rich. 22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Verse 4. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Verse 22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Now we have two verses in the same chapter that seem to be saying that two different things bring wealth and prosperity and blessings into your life. And so from there I have to summarize that diligence is a blessing from the Lord. And that I don't even have the strength in my own self to be diligent, because it is a blessing from the Lord. As I was intrigued by this and saw the word diligence in verse number 4, it caused me to do a little searching, and I found that the word diligence is a popular word in the Scriptures. In fact, interestingly enough, this word diligent, or some of its derivatives, are found more often in one single book of the Bible than any other. Can you guess which one? We're in it. Proverbs. Proverbs talks a lot about diligence. And so what I want to do this evening is just share with you about what I think is oftentimes a missing ingredient in the life of believers, because too many times we can find ourselves buying into that same mentality that our economy and our culture sells us. Our economy and our culture sells us the idea of instant gratification. Our economy and our culture sells us the idea that that we want as much as we can get, as fast as we can get it, as easily as we can get it, with as little effort as possible. Because, you know, how many of you guys get checks in the mail, checks in the mail that if you'll just sign this little thing here, you can get something free. You ever got anything like that? All right, a couple of people. How many of you guys get these little plastic things in the mail that guarantee you happiness, and you're missing out if you don't get this plastic card with your name on it? You know what I'm talking about? You're pre-approved. You're guaranteed. And we want to give you all these wonderful things. And so our society has kind of geared us toward this idea of you stay up late at night. If you ever stay up late at night and you have the TV on and you're surfing the channel, you're going to find bunches of people that tell you how to get rich quick. You can buy real estate with no money down. Use the other guy's money to make money. If you buy this program, the reality of it is most of those people that are selling the programs to show you how to make money is they're selling your program to tell you how to sell a program. Somebody to make money, because that's how they're making their money, is by selling your program. And because our culture has bought into this, sometimes we can buy into it and not really apply the diligence that the Lord's calling us to do. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you some of the rewards from the book of Proverbs, according to Proverbs, some of the rewards that come to the diligent. I'm going to share with you some of the consequences of not being diligent, from according to the book of Proverbs. And then we're going to jump to the New Testament, and we're going to see if there's some New Testament blessings for diligence. All right? Does that sound good? Thank you. I'm glad this side likes it. Does that sound good? All right. Here we go. The rewards of being diligent. We're going to read seven verses in Proverbs right now to look at seven different things the Scripture teaches about the diligent, or a word that could be used to describe the diligent. The first one is found in chapter 21, verse number 5, and that is, you will gain a sure advantage. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 5, it's 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. You see there's a blessing in the diligent that brings an advantage. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to have an advantage in your situation? So if you're a salesperson, have an advantage, to be able to walk in and know you've got an advantage. If you're taking a test, and to have the confidence on your test that you have an advantage, a leg up, a jump start, a head start. Well, the Scripture teaches us that those who apply themselves to diligence, especially as it being the blessing of the Lord, have an advantage. Right, let's not belabor the point. Let's jump over to chapter 12, verse number 24, and I'm going to show you how another blessing of being diligent, that according to Proverbs, is that you will be in control of a situation. In Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 24, it says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule. That means you'll be in control. Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance that you have felt completely out of control in? That's a hopeless place. It really is. It's a place where none of us want to be. And if we've ever been there, we want to get out as quick as we can. And I'm not talking about power struggles in the world. I'm just saying that if we are diligent, it helps us to do a couple of things. One, it helps us to be in control of ourselves. In control of our emotions, in control of our thought life, in control of the things that are going through our minds. And so the Scripture teaches us that diligent ones, those who live lives of diligence, will indeed be in control of themselves and in situations they find themselves in, instead of being controlled by the situation. Now look over chapter 13, verse number 4. I like this one. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent. You like, that's good, isn't it? Of course, the only problem is I'm a literalist, and it says the soul is made fat. It doesn't say the body is made fat. So, but you got to have room for the soul to be fat. So therefore, okay, maybe not. But you see, the point here is that the diligent ones experience true fulfillment in their life. When you apply yourselves with diligence to the things that God has given you, according to Scripture, there is a contentment and there is a fulfillment that comes to our lives because we have applied ourselves with diligence. These are blessings, according to Proverbs, to those who are diligent. The next one is that you're going to gain the respect and the admiration of those who are in authority if you live a life of diligence. And you find that in chapter 22, verse number 29, and I'm trying to not spend a lot of time on each one of these because I've got, just like I got seven positives, I got six negatives, and so that's 13, and if we spend a minute on each one, that's 13 minutes, and And then I have some New Testament scriptures, and that's another 13 minutes, and I want to say something in between anyway. So, let's look at this verse. It's Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? Wouldn't you say it's a diligent one? One who's skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. When we apply ourselves to diligence, we apply ourselves to live lives that are full of diligence, we apply ourselves with consistency, and we apply ourselves with dedication. It opens doors for us, and according to this, we gain the respect and the admiration of those who are in authority. Diligence, a life of conviction, persistence, and dedication towards the Lord. So, that's the fourth thing. Now, the fifth one is found in chapter 28, verse 19, and you're going to find that your needs are satisfied when you live a life of diligence. In chapter 28, verse number 19, it says, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. You see, the diligent one who takes care of his business is going to find himself blessed, plenty of food, and this is one that whose needs are satisfied. Chapter number 13, and I'm jumping all over the place because I just want you to see some of these. Chapter 13, verse number 11, says that you will experience increasing success. This is a beautiful verse. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 11, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but one who gathers by labor diligently increases it. You know, there are some people who, the alternate translation for this fraud, if you look in your center column, it's vanity. And there's lots of thoughts on what that means. But one of the things I thought about when I read this verse, wealth obtained by vanity dwindles. I was thinking about all the stories I've read, and you've probably read them too, of the people who've won the scratch-off millionaire tickets, or they've won the lotteries, or lottos. Have you ever read a story about someone who won that, and within 5 years or 7 years, they're back down to, you know, their family's left them, or they've had just all kinds of problems in the home? Nah, sure, every now and then somebody has a good success story, but most of the time, that easy money ends up creating lots of problems. And the scripture tells us that when that money comes in so easily like that, it dwindles. But the diligent one who gathers by labor increases it. And then this last one, chapter 14, verse 23, tells us that your efforts will be profitable if you live lives of diligence. And it says in verse 23, in all labor there is profit. In diligence there is profit. And whatever it is you're called to do, if you're diligent in it. That's what I love about the scripture. All labor is honorable. Scripture teaches that. No matter what the profession is, if you are an airplane pilot, if you are an architect, if you are an engineer, if you are a truck driver, if you are a truck driver, if you're a nail finisher, if you're a concrete finisher, I'm trying to make words that kind of go together, but I've lost it right there on concrete. No matter what it is you do, if you apply yourself with diligence, according to this verse, there is a profit to your life that God brings. It'll be profitable to you. And so these are some of the rewards according to Proverbs. And I'm going to just stop at those seven. I could read you dozens and dozens, but I think that will sum up some of the positives. Now, there are some consequences. If we do not live lives of diligence, there are consequences. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the same verses that we just went through and look at the converse. In chapter 21, verse number 5, we talked about you'll have an advantage, but in chapter 21, verse 5, it's going to show us that if we do not live lives of diligence, if we don't apply ourselves to what God's called us to apply ourselves to, we're going to find ourselves at an insurmountable disadvantage. 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. And as I got to looking at that, and the Lord is challenging me, I was thinking about this verse today because I've been talking to some of our leadership about how it's so easy for me, as the type of person I am, to do things from the seat of the pants, kind of off the cuff, just, you know, run and gun. But the scripture tells me that there needs to be a diligence, even in planning and preparation, because that will bring about a blessing. But if you do things hastily, I don't even want to talk about it. Now, we read chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule. But you realize if you don't live a diligent life, you're going to end up being ruled. In chapter 12, verse 24, if she puts it on the screen, you'll see that the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. None of us wants to be ruled. Nobody wants to work a dead-end job. Nobody wants to have their life completely overpowered. But if we live lives of laxness, if we live lives that don't apply ourselves, we're going to find that we're in the dead-end job. We're going to find that our life is ruled. We're going to find that we don't have choices because we haven't applied diligence. Chapter 13, verse number 4 says to us, true fulfillment comes to those who are diligent, but it tells us if you're not diligent, you're going to crave, but you're not going to be satisfied. Chapter 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. The diligent one has the fat body to fit the fat soul in. But the one who's not diligent is never satisfied. Always wanting more. Always wanting what else is there in life? What else is there? There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And a lot of times it's because they haven't applied diligence in the small thing they've been given. And you have a New Testament verse, be faithful in little, and you'll be given more. Right. So, that's a consequence of not being diligent. Let's look at chapter 28, verse 19. We've read these verses before, but I want you to see the converse, the flip side. Chapter 28, verse number 19 says, he who tills his land, this is the diligent one, will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. He who follows empty pursuits, who's not diligent, who just goes where the wind blows, who just follows whatever pops into his mind at the moment, he's going to find himself lacking in understanding. He's going to find himself with plenty of something, plenty of lack, plenty of poverty. Chapter 13, we were there a minute ago, back to verse number 11. It tells us that the one who gains by labor is profitable, but it tells us that if we are not diligent, our wealth and our security will dissipate. Chapter 13, verse number 11. Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles. You see that word dwindles? That's that issue of wealth by either by fraud, by vanity, or some easy way, somebody else's mistake. Here's a great example. It happens, people take advantage of a system and they get something out of it. The clerk gives them a $100 bill back in change instead of a $20. Or the clerk thinks they got a $100 bill. They gave them a $100 bill. People go around will cheat and do that, those kinds of things. I gave you $100. No, you only gave me a $20. I gave you $100. So they get a bunch of change back. God says that kind of wealth, that kind of easy money, that kind of shortcut is going to go through your hands so fast you're going to have holes in all your pockets. You won't be able to hang on to it. It will dissipate. It will disappear. And the last one is chapter 14, verse 23. We've read that you'll be profitable. It says, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to what? And so a consequence of not being diligent is that your efforts will come to nothing. Have you ever met anybody who all they did was talk? Well, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to do that. Well, I'm going to do this other thing. And when they're 70 years old, they're talking about all the things they were going to do. Well, if I just had the chance, if I just could have that, if I just could have the other. Because their life was filled with talk and there was no diligence applied. In this new year, we have fresh starts. We like the idea of a new year because it gives us a fresh beginning. We talked about that before. And this is one of those years I think the Lord is encouraging us and calling us as believers to live lives of diligence. And let's talk about the New Testament. Before I do that, I want to read one Old Testament verse to you in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19, because I want you to see something. I compared Proverbs 10:4 and Proverbs 10:22, where one of them says that diligence makes rich, and the other one says the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Remember those two verses? Remember those two verses? We talked about the diligence makes rich, and the blessing of the Lord. And so what I'm trying to say to you is I believe that the Lord blesses us with diligence. He calls us to that. But just like any blessing, we have to choose to accept it. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God's people were faced with a choice. And this is what the man of God said to him, "Today I have set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse." And how many of you want to be cursed today? Let me see your hands. None of us want to be, but look very carefully at what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. I want you to look very closely at what the man of God says. So, fourth line, fifth line down. "I have set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse." So you got to make a choice. Now he's entreating you, choose life so that you will live. I'm begging you to make the right choice. And most of us, we look at that and go, duh. Nobody's going to choose death. But listen to me well. If you don't choose life, you've chosen death by default. If you don't choose diligence, you've chosen the consequences of no diligence by default. You see, this is not a checkbox that can either be checked or unchecked. This is a radio button. That makes no sense to anybody but computer geeks. I'm David and Jim. See, checkboxes are all, they're kind of multiple choice. But if you ever run across a radio box on a computer screen, it's either this one or this one. And you can't have one. One of them's going to be checked. And here's the problem. Because we live in a fallen state, we live in a fallen world, the default for our life is death. That's the default. It's selected for us. So if we don't choose life to let death is ours, and if we don't choose diligence, then no diligence is ours by default. So, I'm entreating you that you and I this year make a decision to choose diligence. That we choose to respond to God's blessings with lives of diligence. And according to the dictionary, diligence is doing something with conviction, persistence, and dedication. And when we choose to live lives of diligence towards the Lord with conviction, persistence, and dedication, there are rewards and there are fruit. And I want to read you five New Testament verses that talk to you about the fruit of diligence in a New Testament believer's life. Now, what they're going to say to you is, be diligent to do something. But what I want you to see is that if you're diligent, this is going to be the result. Can you look at these with me real quickly? Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 3. And I'm cutting in the middle of the verse, but I want you to see this, these five thoughts. Five fruits of diligent lifestyle. Verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here's my point. Listen, if you live a diligent lifestyle, unity and peace will be yours. If you live a lifestyle of diligence towards the Lord, a lifestyle of conviction, persistence, and dedication towards the things that He's called you to do, if you respond yes to the things He's called you to do, then unity will be yours. And when I'm talking about unity, I'm talking about a unity in your family, a unity in your home, a unity even in your own mind with yourself, and a peace that this is talking about here, a bond of peace that comes into all of your life. Now notice it doesn't tell us that we're supposed to create it, we're supposed to preserve it, being diligent to preserve the unity. But my point is that the fruit of diligence for the New Testament believer, the one who applies himself with dedication, persistence, and conviction, is unity. Second thing I want you to see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is even prettier, more powerful, more blessed. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, this is Gary Fisher's favorite verse. Well, I don't know if it's his favorite verse, but he's used it a lot. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." I say it's Gary's favorite because he's been commander of our WANA program for several years, and this is the WANA theme verse. Approved workmen are not ashamed, A-W-A-N-A. But you see the point here? If we live diligent lives, God approves. Now, if I were to say to you right now, how many of you want God to approve of your life? every one of you would say, yeah, I want that. Can I tell you something? God doesn't approve of all of his kids. Now, that sounds shocking, but have you approved of everything your child's ever done? No. Do you love them? Absolutely. But are you happy about some of the choices they make? No. Sometimes we make dumb choices, and God doesn't, he doesn't get it. He doesn't like that. He doesn't approve. But if we live diligent lives, if we live lives that apply ourselves with that persistence and dedication and conviction, and we're responding to him with faithfulness and living a diligent life towards him, he approves. I saw a poster last Saturday at another church. I was preaching a wedding, and on the wall, it was a youth room, and on the wall there was a picture of Jesus. And he's a painting of Jesus. He's kneeling down at the rock in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's got his hands folded. He's looking up, and there's a ray of light coming from heaven. And the caption underneath said, "You think your parents expect a lot from you?" Wow. But you know what? You've heard many pastors and many preachers and many Christians say, and you've said, "I look forward and I hope to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant." Don't we want to hear that at the end? Well, the way you guarantee that is by being diligent. By being diligent to do the things you know to do. Reading his word and responding to his heartbeat as you pray and being involved in the things he has for you to be involved in. As you're diligent to him, one of the blessings is God's approval. And when you respond to his grace with diligent lives, he definitely approves. The third New Testament blessing I see is found in Hebrews chapter number 4. We just have two more, and we're going to wrap this up. But in Hebrews chapter number 4, I want you to see it's a command, but I believe it's a promise. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience." You know, when I talk about being diligent, if I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, I'll either communicate or you'll hear it as, man, we really got to work hard. But you realize that there is such a restfulness in the life of a believer who applies himself with diligence. There is a spiritual restfulness that settles upon the believer, and you're undisturbed. You're not shaken. You're not easily unsettled. But because you have lived a life of diligence, and you know what? I know I'm preaching to the choir, because the ones in that crowd, they're the diligent ones, aren't they? I mean, that's the really diligent ones. But my point to you is that God's blessing to you, his promise to you, is a life of rest, emotional rest, mental rest. And I even believe physical rest. As I read to you a couple of weeks ago, that scripture says God gives to his beloved even in their sleep. God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he gives some of you more sleep than others. You got to get to work on time, you know. Well, God was just loving me so much. I hit the snooze button 14 times. He was loving me so much. That only works for me, okay? John, you can tell me that, and then I'll let you do it one time. I don't know if your boss is going to take that excuse. But you see, God's got a rest for you. He's got a rest for his children. And it's a promised rest to those who are diligent. Two more things I want to share with you in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I love this. I call this wholeness of life. Now I have to use that phrase because he's talking about so many different things in 2 Peter chapter 1. But if you look with me at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, beginning in verse number 5, he says, "For this reason also, applying all diligence." Now everything that comes after this comes out of diligence. So that's why I call it holiness. There's a bunch of stuff. Look at this. Applying all diligence. In your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. You see, all of these things flow out of a diligent lifestyle. All these things that look so good, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, we want those things. They flow from a lifestyle of diligence. They're there. And then here's the kicker. The next verse says, now I'm going to go from the front to the end. I'm just going to end in the middle. If you are diligent, then verse number 8 applies to you. For if these qualities that flow out of diligence, so therefore if diligence is yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? There's such a wholeness and a completeness of life that God says, you know what? You're useful to me. I remember when I first came across the scripture where Paul said, in God's house are many types of vessels. There are gold vessels and earthen vessels, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He was comparing how in your house you have lots of glasses, right? Don't you have lots of glasses? You may have some plastic ones, and you may have some glass ones, and you may have some crystal ones. You may have some coffee cups and some throwaway mugs from Taco Bell that you decided to keep because they're kind of thick, and they, you know, you could use them for big drinks when you're watching the Saints beat Philadelphia on Saturday night. Okay, so you've got lots of different cups in your house. All right. Well, the scripture, he's referring to the different kinds of pots that would be in people's homes. Now, there are different kinds of, now, we don't have chamber pots anymore, but you know what that is, right? I don't have to explain it, do I? If you don't understand what a chamber pot is, look at somebody with some gray hair and ask them when we leave. No, okay. I get myself in trouble. All right. But see, there are some pots that don't have necessarily honorable uses, but they're still useful. They have a purpose. So many people today, it seems to me, feel like they have no purpose. And they want some purpose and some meaning. And the Lord is saying, you will have purpose, you will be meaningful, you will be useful, and you will be fruitful with all of these qualities in your life that begin with diligence. Diligence. Reading your Bible consistently. Praying consistently. Hearing His voice consistently. Giving consistently. Helping others consistently. Doing those things that He's called us to do consistently, purposefully, and with dedication and devotion brings all these other blessings. And the last one is also in 2 Peter, but it's found in chapter number 3, verse number 14. Says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless. Peace, spotless and blameless. You see, there's a neat scripture, and I didn't write it down, and I can't tell you where it's at right now. It's in the book of Proverbs. But it summarizes teaching that's found throughout the scripture. That God judges the heart. God judges the heart. He weighs the motives. He sees the intentions. And the point of this is that if we apply a life of diligence, then we are blameless in His eyes. Even if we mess up, because our heart was towards Him. Even if we blow it, because our heart is diligently towards Him, He records us as spotless and blameless. And I was thinking about, you know, I read you five things that come as a result of a life of diligence in the New Testament. Unity whole in your life, wholeness, completeness, God's approval, rest, and again, this wholeness of life and being useful to God, as 2 Peter, and peace. These are great blessings. What the world needs now is all of these. And they're really, really yours. I can't sing the song. But if you'll be diligent, if we will be diligent. And so I ask you, don't answer this out loud, but ask yourself, have I really been diligent towards the Lord? Have I been faithful to do the things He's given me to do? Have I been consistent? Or have I been influenced by the instant gratification, path of least resistance, get as much as I can, as fast as I can, as easily as I can? I think the Lord is calling us to live lives of diligence, of conviction, of persistence and dedication. And so here's my point. This is very, very important. Diligence is our response to God's initiation. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that you've got to do these things to be saved. Our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Our placement is secure in Him. We can't earn His salvation. We can't unearn His salvation. But we can respond to His grace. And we can say, because I'm so grateful, I will be faithful. Because I'm so thankful, I will be diligent. And we respond to His graciousness by diligently serving Him. Not to gain an advantage, but simply to please Him. And so, I want to encourage you to let 2007... See, churches come up with cute little ditties sometimes, and I've heard several pastors say things like they're going to have a theme this year about make sure you're going to heaven in 2007. Of course, some people are like, do I have to go this year? You know, can I wait just a little bit? Well, instead of 2007 being the year of heaven, I want to encourage us to have 2007 be the year of diligence. That we respond to the Lord by being faithful to what He's given us to do. Not in order to earn some special blessing and be some first-class citizen above everybody else, but in thankfulness and gratitude towards Him. That our response is faithfulness and consistency and dependency and dedication, diligence. So let's commit to being diligent in all the things. Can you commit to spending time with Him? Don't commit to me, but to Him. That you'll spend time with Him. That you will seek His face. Those little simple things. You're reading your scriptures. You know, we eat every day. We do lots of things every day. Why can't we find a little room in there every day just to spend a couple of minutes with Him, just to hear from Him and to talk to Him and to receive His Word into our heart, to ask Him for the things that we need and to ask Him to use us in that day, to be every day setting ourselves to be diligent by worshiping Him, helping others share our faith. I believe that as we do that, and do these things, and we live lives of diligence, these blessings are going to overflow us. Remember what Deuteronomy 30 said? We got a choice to make. And this year can be another year of sluggardliness. You know, there's so many scriptures in Proverbs that talk about sloth, sluggards. It talks about one guy passed by the vineyard of the sluggard, and his, you know, weeds were grown up and his fence had fallen down, and there he was laid down in the middle of it. No one talks about the sluggard was so lazy he put his hand in the bowl and wouldn't even pick it up to put it in his mouth. That's how lazy. That's pretty lazy. That's pretty lazy. You wouldn't lift a fork to your mouth. Another one talks about the lazy man so lazy he would kill an animal and he wouldn't clean it. He wouldn't prepare it to eat. Let's don't live lives of just going with the flow and just doing what everybody else does and just being one of everybody. Let's swim upstream. Let's push towards the Lord. Let's be faithful towards Him. Let's be diligent in the things He's given us to do. And I think scripturally I've demonstrated, and I'm convinced in my heart, His blessings will be yours. The Lord makes rich. Let me tell you something. When He doesn't, He has no sorrow. No sorrow. How does He do it? Well, if you'll go back to Proverbs chapter number 10, I want to read those two verses again. I'm going to tell you how I think He does it. Proverbs 10:22 says, "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich." And the way He does it, I believe, is found in verse 4, "The hand of the diligent makes rich." I believe the Lord adds wealth to our life by empowering us to be diligent. So will you let 2007 be the year of diligence in your life, of faithfulness, of renewed conviction and passion for Him, that these blessings might flow? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for Your Word, and thank You for Your promise and Your desire to make us rich in not just physical things, but in our life, that we might have a rich life, a whole life, a complete life, A life that has the blessings of peace and rest and wholeness. And most importantly, your approval. Lord, allow us to be faithful in those little things. Empower us and draw us to that, Lord, that we might kick against the downstream spiral. We might stand what little bitty bean patch we have and say, I'm going to be faithful to you right here, Lord. May this be a year of diligence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.